Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. This episode looks at a selection of some of the best films with the word silence in the title. I hope you enjoy the show. The word silence is important to the history of the cinema, as all films were silent before 1929, and it seems that a silent world still fascinates filmmakers. There's a wealth of films exploring the theme of silence that have been made since then. I was surprised just how many I could find. I've made a selection of some of the best ones for this show. The first that springs to mind is Silence of the Lambs, of course, from 1991. Was it really that long ago that we were chilled by the story of Hannibal Lecter, played by Anthony Hopkins, in the defining role of his career, as the cannibalistic killer being stalked by Jodie Foster? How time flies. The director, Jonathan Demme, has revealed that in order for the audience to relate more directly with FBI agent Starling, he made sure that the characters talking to her looked directly at the camera, and she looked slightly off camera when replying. Fascinating stuff. The movie won 5 Oscars, including Best Picture, Best Actor for both Hopkins and Jodie Foster, and Best Director for Dem. Not bad. This is a perfect example of a film being hugely successful without compromising its artistic worth. Let's wind back the clock now to 1960 for The Angry Silence, an exceptional film directed by Guy Green and starring a superb Richard Attenborough as a factory worker in rural England who stands up against his union's decision to hold a strike. It was co-written by Brian Forbes, himself an accomplished director, and there was difficulty finding the finance until Pierre Angeli was signed for the role of Attenborough's wife. Its subject matter was considered very controversial at the time, and it's a great lesson in bullying and peer pressure. It deserves to be more widely known. Let's next go to Jean-Pierre Melville's first feature, called The Silence of the Sea, made in 1949. It's set in World War II in a small provincial town in France on the coast. An ageing farmer and his niece have to provide lodging to a Nazi officer who, it turns out, is in love with the French way of life and its literature. He's played superbly by Howard Vernon, and slowly but surely he finds his way into their emotional lives. Their resistance to his friendship is very well portrayed, and Melville shows a rare quality in his direction. It's based on a novel, but Melville hadn't secured the rights, so the author, Paul Vercors, agreed to the film being made, as long as he could show it to 24 resistance members once it was finished. If a single one objected, Melville agreed to burn the negative. Fortunately for us, it survived. It was a commercial and critical success, and its use of location and lighting inspired many of the new wave directors in France that followed.
Mir viel Schmerzen, alles nicht wie gut ich dir bin.
The Great Silence from 1968 is a spaghetti western starring Jean-Louis Trintignant as a mute gunman who stumbles upon a group of bounty killers terrorizing a remote town full of outlaws in the snowy Rockies. It's claustrophobically directed by Sergio Corbucci, and Klaus Kinski also stars as the chief antagonist. Corbucci created all the snow with shaving cream. Interestingly, it was turned into a samurai TV series in Japan in the early 70s, which is an exception to the rule. Normally, samurai movies have been turned into westerns. Ennio Morricone again provided a fabulous score. Roll back to 1958, when Burt Lancaster starred with Clark Gable in Run Silent, Run Deep, a superior war movie about an American submarine hunting and sinking Japanese convoys in the Pacific. Gable has lost his last command, sunk, and seeks revenge by hijacking Lancaster's sub before it leaves Pearl Harbor. At first, they don't see eye to eye, but gradually they share the same purpose, and Lancaster's crew are finally won over. It's directed by Robert Wise and has a great script, and all the performances are spot on. Considering the year this was made, the special effects scale models were extremely realistic. It was the first time United Artists actively bought the rights to a novel, and they approached Lancaster Production Company to make it.
Thank you. twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. Haven't felt like this, my dear, since can't remember when. It's been a long, long time. You'll never know how many dreams I dream about you, or just how empty they all seem without you. So kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time.
Fast forward to the Darden brothers' Lorna's Silence in 2008. Anyone who isn't familiar with the Darden brothers' work is missing a trick. Anything they make is worth watching, and this is no exception. Lorna is an Albanian young woman living in Belgium who wants to open a snack bar with her boyfriend, but has to raise the money via a scam set up by a local gangster. This film is over before you know it. So well do the Darden brothers tell their story. Most of the time they use unknown cast, and Arta Drobroshi is convincing in the lead role as she navigates life's issues to achieve her goal.
We'll be right back. said back to the place where we were lovers.
In 2010, The Silence was made in Germany, directed by Baran Bo Odar. A young girl is murdered in exactly the same circumstances in the same location 23 years to the day after a previous murder. The police are forced to reopen the original case and hope there will be some overlooked clues as to who was responsible. It's slow and ponderous at times, but towards the end there are some genuinely suspenseful moments as the net tightens and we realise why the second murder was committed. I'm a big fan of director Ingmar Bergman, and The Silence, made in 1963, is one of his most provocative films. It's the story of two sisters and one of them's 10-year-old son, who move to a hotel in a small town. The sisters seem to be having an incestuous affair, and the passage of the film takes about 24 hours. Surprisingly, it gained a certificate for distribution and caused a sensation upon release. In Argentina, the film's distributor was given a year's jail term. It became known as the first film to shoot a hole in the sex and nudity censorship wall.
Thank you.
Blast of Silence from 1961 is a late period film noir in black and white in which a hitman arrives in New York to carry out a contract during the Christmas period. It's written and directed by Alan Barron, who went into television and gave us Charlie's Angels later on. Barron also plays the main character, so it's obviously a low-budget picture, but it's very effective. New York is portrayed as a cesspit of litter, both human and non-human, and the hitman fits right in perfectly. Lionel Stander from Once Upon a Time in the West provided the excellent voiceover. This film is well worth a look, especially if, like me, you're drawn to the magic of New York. And somehow it reminds me a lot of the mood of Taxi Driver, so maybe Scorsese is a fan of this film. Silenced, made in Korea in 2011, is based on the true story of a school for deaf children where the school's principal and his twin brother and one of the teachers abused the children. It's a very well constructed docudrama and all the performances are outstanding. A young new teacher arrives at the school and begins to notice that things aren't quite right. Gong Yu, the actor in the main role, first read the novel whilst in military service and sought out the author to seek permission to get it made into a film. As a result of the film's success, legislative reforms were passed to protect the rights of minors and the disabled in Korea.
Thank you.
Finally, I'd like to mention Silence and Darkness, written and directed by Barak Barkan. It's a simple story about two sisters, one is blind, the other mute, who live in idyllic Vermont countryside with their father, who is a local doctor. He's a doting father, but steadily you get the impression that things aren't what they seem. A neighbour's dog finds human bones in their backyard, and the doctor dad makes detailed audio notes on the sister's behaviour at his office all the time. I won't tell you any more, as it's an intriguing premise and I don't want to spoil it for you. It's Barkan's debut feature, and I only wish the script could have been developed further, as it feels undercooked as a finished film. But it's always good to try new movies out, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more from Barak Barkan in the future. That's it for this show, and I hope you get the opportunity and desire to see some of these silence films soon.
Darkness at the break of noon, shadows even the silver spoon, the handmade blade, the child's balloon, eclipses both the sun and moon, to understand you know too soon, there's no sense in trying. Pointed threats, they bluff with scorn. Suicide remarks are torn from the fool's gold mouthpiece. The hollow horn plays wasted words, proves to warn that he not busy being born is busy dying. Temptation's page flies out the door. You follow, find yourself at war. Watch waterfalls of pity roar. You feel to moan, but unlike before, you discover that you just be one more person crying. So don't fear if you hear a foreign sound to your ear. It's all right, Ma, I'm only sighing. As some worn victory, some downfall, private reasons, great or small, can be seen in the eyes of those that call to make all that should be killed to crawl, while others say don't hate nothing at all except hatred. Disillusion words like bullets bark as human gods aim for their mark. Make everything from toy guns that spark to flesh-colored Christs that glow in the dark. It's easy to see without looking too far that not much is really sacred. While preachers preach of evil fates, teachers teach that knowledge waits, can lead to $100 plates, and goodness hides behind its gates, but even the president of the United States sometimes must have to stand naked. And though the rules of the road have been lodged, it's only people's games you got to dodge. And it's all right, Ma, I can make it. Advertising signs that con you into thinking you're the one that can do what's never been done, that can win what's never been won. Meantime, life outside goes on all around you. You lose yourself, you reappear. You suddenly find you got nothing to fear. Alone you stand with nobody near. When a trembling distant voice unclear startles your sleeping ears to hear that somebody thinks they really found you. A A question in your nerves is lit, yet you know there is no answer fit to satisfy. Ensure you not to quit, to keep it in your mind and not forget that it is not he or she or them or it that you belong to. But though the masters make the rules for the wise men and the fools, I got nothing more to live up to. For them that must obey authority that they do not respect in any degree, who despise their jobs, their destiny, speak jealously of them that are free, do what they do just to be nothing more than something they invest in. While some on principles baptize to strict party platform ties, social clubs in drag disguise, outsiders they can freely criticize, tell nothing except who to idolize and say God bless him. While one who sings with his tongue on fire gargles in the rat race choir, bent out of shape from society's pliers, cares not to come up any higher, but rather get you down in the hole that he's in. But I mean no harm, nor put fault on anyone that lives in a vault. But it's all right, Ma, if I can't please him. Old lady judges watch people in pairs, limited in sex they dare, to push fake morals, insult and stare. While money doesn't talk, it swears. Obscenity, who really cares? Propaganda, all is phony. While them that defend what they cannot see with a killer's pride, security, it blows their minds most bitterly. For them that think death's honesty won't fall upon them naturally, life sometimes must get lonely. My eyes collide head on with stuffed graveyards, false goals I scuff at pettiness which plays so rough. Walk upside down inside handcuffs, kick my legs to crash it off, say, okay, I've had enough, what else can you show me? And if my thought dreams could be seen, they'd probably put my head in a guillotine. But it's all right, Ma, it's life and life only.